Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it is always with a massive amount of joy in my voice that I say hello to you because I'm very excited to be here. I always am. The show is as much of a healing for me as it is for those listening. And today we have an incredible, it's almost like a real life touched by an angel story. It is a real life touched by an angel story. My guest, Robert Clancy, had this experience when he was 19 years old that he's going to share with us. But it was a very beautiful, and the way he describes it is a very beautiful experience where he was literally touched by an angel. And it took him 30 years to talk about it. First, foremost, he was a programmer, very technical, logical side of his brain that he used. So this went against the grain of everything that he did in his life, but like all of us, we're forced to see the things that we can't. Right, Robert? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. That was a beautiful introduction. Yes. And there's a lot more to everything than we know. And that's the one thing that I did learn from my experiences.
Yes, yes. So you were in the tech logic world. What were you doing?
Well, I'm still in the tech logic world. Oh, yes. Okay. I'm a center brain person. I was attending university to learn programming, and that's what I was. And I actually do that as a career. I'm a coder, a marketing person. There's so many avenues open now, but I'm probably the most logical person you're going to meet on the planet. I got 100 on a logic exam and also 100 in the course, and I'm one of the few people in the university that's ever done that.
Wow. So did that part of your life just get overdeveloped where maybe you weren't paying attention to another part of your life?
I'm not sure. I know I've been on this path. I think I was just ignoring the other side.
Oh, ignoring it. Ignoring it. How did that show up for you in your life when you were going down the path of this tech geek? I get to call you a geek because my husband is one too. Where did you wind up in your life?
Yeah, it was at, age 19 is when the lowest point of my life occurred. And so, up to that point, I'm going along. Everything is smooth. I'm a straight-A student. Everything's perfect. And then in a very short amount of time, it all fell apart. I had several friends at college commit suicide, and then there were other ones killed in these horrible car accidents. Mm. My girlfriend broke up with me. My mother was having a nervous breakdown. My dad was, closet drinking. It's just everything that was, and my other friends were away. Then my girlfriend broke up with me, my last stable thing in my life, and that was it. And I just checked out. I didn't want to feel anything. I didn't want to be here, and I started doing things that were leading me down that path.
Oh, wow. So you were, just at 19, we don't usually have the tools to deal with that level of trauma.
Right, yes.
And then everybody else, the only models you have around you are those who are self-medicating and so forth. Mm-hmm. Is that the path you went down?
Yeah, I was mixing prescription drugs and alcohol and just didn't want to have any, I shouldn't be here. I was getting in cars with people that are drunk and, didn't really care what was going to happen to me. And it was one night when in the restaurant I worked in, this waitress, she was very wise. She was in her 20s, mid-20s.
Wow.
She approached me and said, "Hey, come here. I know what you're doing to yourself and you need to stop or you're going to end up killing yourself. And I know." And she gave me that 50-yard stare. Mm. And I broke down. She said, "Put your hand out." And she took this pamphlet out of her purse, and it said how to meditate. And she said, you go home and do this tonight. And this got me through some very difficult periods of my life. And being the logic person I am, I followed all the instructions. I read the thing cover to cover.
Yeah.
And I started this 3-hour meditation.
Wow.
And before I started, I said out loud, if there's a God, you need to show me something tonight or I'm done, because this is it.
Huh.
And I also need help. So if you're there, help me.
So you knew you needed help.
Yes. And I went into this meditation. It was about 3 hours in, and I thought I saw light with what they describe as your mind's eye. I opened my eyes, and there's light shining on the wall, so I shrugged my shoulders, and I was kind of like, well, this is a waste of time. And then I couldn't break the beam of this thing. It looked like a crystal, and I waved my hand in front of it. Yeah, it was up in the corner where the ceiling meets the wall, and it was almost like a black circle was, you know, a hole in the wall, but I didn't touch it. And I sat there and I kept closing my eyes and opening them because I could see it either way. And I thought, well, this is weird. And then I went back to the pamphlet, went by the window where the light's coming in, and I was looking at the said, you know, I don't remember this part in the instructions, but I sat there and then it looked like a paper cut out of an angel. And then it just literally unfolded like a butterfly, and there was this Barbie doll size angel, almost as if there was a hole in the wall, and then it passed through, and it was 7 feet in front of me.
Wow.
Made out of pure white light. It was translucent, and me being the science person I am, I was experimenting because I kept closing my eyes and opening them, and I could see it either way. And when I closed my eyes, it looked like an X-ray or when you blow a candle out in a dark room. And then when I opened my eyes, it was super sharp. And then I said out loud, like, oh, my God. That was the first thing. And then I asked her, so what are we doing here?
You mean, so did you get to a point and say, okay, logical mind, kick in?
No, it was just, I was placed in total peace.
Oh.
It was just the most beautiful face I'd ever seen in my life. And you're just overwhelmed with just pure love and peace at that point. And I knew what was happening, and I thought, wow, this is happening right now. And is she going to talk? I went nose to nose because she came right up to my face, and I went cross-eyed and backed up a little bit.
Hmm.
And I think there was a kiss, but I never felt anything, tangible on me. I could only feel the presence. And then she just looked in my eyes, and I thought of something funny, and can you read minds? And that's when she blinked and nodded. And I kept closing my eyes, and I could see this light, like, spiraling out of her onto me. And about probably a half hour or so into this, she floated forward and lifted her finger, index finger, and touched me right in my mind's eye. And that's when everything changed.
Really?
I mean, literally changed before that, but that's when I physically,
so you felt this.
Yeah.
Did you feel it?
Yes. I saw almost like a slideshow. She showed me my life, like what I would be doing, never to have fear, doubt, or worry again. I was going to inspire youth. I'm going to work with them. She showed me this rainstorm, and that was the kindness and the ripples from all these people that I was going to touch in life and just live and never worry. And all these things. And I went to the mirror after this, and I looked at my 19-year-old self, and I said, dude, that just happened, and you're going to have to live with this. You're going to have to live with knowing God's real, and no one's ever going to believe you, and you're just going to have to live. And it's a burden and a blessing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to run out my front yard and yell, like Roger
happened.
Daltrey out there, like,
yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
But I didn't.
You didn't say to anyone, look, this weird thing happened?
It was almost 5 years later before I told the first person.
Huh. And you kept that. 5 years is a long time. You just kept that in your heart.
Yes, and I was smiling every day, and I haven't stopped since. And it was a friend of mine who was in his mid-20s, and he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I told him the story, and I said, what I just told you, and I said, it's real, and your life's not going to end. I mean, your physical life is, but your soul, we're souls, and I need you to guide me. And his only regret was that he'd never be married and have kids, and he said, you know, you're going to make a great dad one day. you will.
And did you?
Yes, I became a father and have an awesome son. He just became an Eagle Scout and, you know, he's a good person. And
yeah, that's awesome. Well, so now when you explained to him, when this angel explained to you and showed you how your life was going to be, did you start looking at everything in life different?
Oh, yeah.
Did you forget it?
No, I sat for the last 30 years and just watched how two people hold hands, just how they look at each other, a child smile, just the littlest things in life, everything, and how beautiful everything is. And on December 1st, 2012, it's like the rest of the veil lifted from my mind's eye, from everything, and it's like I see God's math on everything, and everything inspires me. It's just... I can walk in and read something. Like I saw a billboard that said, peace of mind is a beautiful thing. And the words will just rearrange. It just said, peace of mind may be a beautiful thing, but peace of heart allows you to see the beauty in everything. And then I saw a fire extinguisher, and there's like the word respiratory on it. And I would go, you'll never have respiratory issues when the air is filled with love. Just breathe and enjoy life. And then the word pressure, when you feel the weight of the world upon you, know that love holds up anything as long as your faith does too. And it's just, I see words and this mathematical stuff on everything.
Mathematical, tell me about that.
It's like sacred geometry in words, but they unravel. It's almost like a puzzle, and then it just like unfurrows in front of my eyes. And I see like the quotes, like the quote of the weight of the world. It's a square. Like I see a rectangle with that one.
Hmm.
Like this quote is a triangle, and it's in a circle. So I'll tell you that's the symbol for the next quote I'm going to say, the words. Love has no walls, thus it cannot be conquered. Love has no boundaries, thus it is always open. And love has no limits, thus it has no end. And that's like I see a circle with a triangle in the middle.
Did you just read that from your mind's eye right now?
Yes. Yeah, I don't have any papers in front of me.
Is it something that only you can see?
They're stored as pictures in my head.
Is it something that other people could see if they had that same kind of... has anybody else seen it ever before? Maybe if they had a certain gift?
No, not that I've encountered. It's the only way I can say is all these words are stored as pictures and symbols in my head, almost like a Rolodex. And I can, you know, if somebody said, oh, you know, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life, and then... I'll pull this quote out. It's just like their catalog. And it's, they say if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. But imagine if your job was loving, you'd live every day of your life working in happiness. I just see a heart and just, you know, opening with that quote.
Amazing. So you see these quotes all day. And do you apply that to what you do? I see that you're a co-founder of the Spiral Design Studio. So it's
in everything. Yeah. Our company gives back to the community. That's, you know, business is never about business. It's about people. And we help these amazing companies that donate or contribute to the community and the world in great ways. So if we can help them be successful through our marketing and design, our reach is extended through that. So we're all part. We're all connected in this, like, it's like the strands of love. It's what connects us to the very fabric of the universe.
Have you ever asked your angels to see some of these close family or friends that have passed?
Yes, and I have. I mean, it's almost, if I close my eyes in a dark room, I can see the other side. It's like permanent. I'm permanently in like a meditative state.
You can't unsee it.
Yeah, I can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm. And you're connected all the time.
Yeah. I've been plugged in, and I have never been unplugged. It's just a constant state of I feel almost like I'm an empath or something. Like I can feel the emotion of people and feel what's in them and then know now the words to say to them. Like if you lost a loved one, it would be letting go of grief is not letting go of your loved one. It's creating room in your heart for the love that you have for them. And if you have a great amount of grief, then you must have a very big heart. It needs to be filled with that love to share with everyone else.
Wow. It's beautiful. I was watching another interview, and you read this, and it was very I thought you read it, but you didn't. You
didn't. No.
Okay. So then let me ask you about when you did tell your family. Now, 5 years, you mentioned it to somebody who was passing.
Yes.
Then what?
Well, I knew I'd be meeting my future wife, and as soon as I saw her, she turned around, I saw her eyes, and I heard the words, "This is who you will marry," I almost like physically heard it with my ears, and I kind of turned like, did anybody just hear that? and took me a year to convince her, but yeah. And then I did let her know while we were dating. I said, I have something to tell you, just so you know, we're going to be married. And she just started laughing. And I said, you know, our first, the guys in the restaurant, like she came up. We talked to each other for 3 months, and then she came up on the train from New York City up to upstate New York. And I'm in the restaurant, waiter standing there, and I said, I just want to let you know that I absolutely love you. And she like spit her drink and laughed and said, we haven't even kissed yet.
Oh,
and I just said,
gosh.
We have the rest of our lives for that. And the guy walked away. He's like, oh, you
yeah,
come
well,
back.
Too much too soon, dude. But, okay, so this was not the girl that you met in the restaurant that gave you the
no.
meditation.
No, this was
Have you ever seen her again?
I know her name. I have not seen her since I left employment there many years ago.
Hmm. Ever care to?
Yeah, I mean, I still run into people from the restaurant that are connected, so I've heard she's still out there.
Not an angel, but an actual human being.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, are you able to impact people and communicate to them from what you hear? So if you see someone else struggling... Like
yes.
she did for you.
Yes, and I sort of let go of the reins. It's almost like you set the GPS. You still have to drive the car, but I know it's always going to get me back on the path. And a couple of years ago, I ended up at a hospital in their suicide lockdown ward. I got a call from somebody. They said, I'm in the hospital. Can you come and bring your books? And I said, okay. And they said, bring 10. And I'm like, okay. So I show up at this hospital, they tell me the floor, and it's locked. So I push the buzzer, and the nurse comes or somebody, and they said, what church are you with? And I said, I'm not with a church. I'm supposed to meet so-and-so. And they said, they're in there waiting for you. And I said, who's in there? And there's a chair with 10 people sitting in a semicircle in the suicide lockdown ward. And I just sat down and started talking, and I had words for each one of those people that came in that week. And
that
this one young man came over, and I listened to each of their stories, and he said, I tried to commit suicide because I lost my dad, and I can't live without him. He's my best friend in this world. And intuitively, I just saw that he didn't have kids, and then the words came, like, it just said, tell him this. And so I said, do you have kids? And he said, no. And I said, well, don't you want to be the dad for your kids that your dad was for you? And he looked like he got shocked. And he you know, wavered a little second. He's holding onto an IV pole, and he almost went faint. And he said, I've never thought about that. Wow, you're right.
Huh.
I never thought that.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me. He hugged me 3 times before I left, and they called that night. And he said, you healed me today.
Oh, wow. That's got to feel good. I'm sure there are a lot of stories just like that. Can you tell us a little bit about your mother passing and when you let your father know this happened?
Yeah, my dad was in World War II, so he went through the D-Day invasion. He had liberated a concentration camp. They had been married for 64 years up to this point, and I could not imagine having somebody that you've loved that long, and then they're going to leave. And we knew that she was getting close. And I asked my brothers and my sister, can I take Dad back up to his room? Because he was in the Theresian House, which is an elderly home. He had a stroke a few years earlier, and he's in a wheelchair. So, you know, I'm walking along, and I said, yeah, you know, it's going to be tough. And he said, yeah, death and taxes. My dad's always, like, joking. He said, the two things you're always going to encounter in life. And I got him to his room, and the lights were dim, and I just knelt down next to him, and I said, I need to tell you something, and I hope you believe me, because it's the truth, and I want you to be at peace. Mom's going to pass tonight at 2:30, I've already been guided to tell you that. And I need you to be prepared, and I don't want to lose you. He didn't say anything, and I told him the story of the angel. Hmm. And the next day, we went down to see my mom's body, because she did pass at 2:30. And she had a rose in her hands, and she's laying in the bed. And he walked in, and he just said, "Doesn't my sweetie look beautiful?" Hmm. And then her brother came in, my Uncle Dan, and he turned and said, "Tell your Uncle Dan about the angel." He said, "Bobby, tell your Uncle Dan about the angel." He didn't say anything the night when I told him the night before. He just nodded his head and said, "I love you."
And then he turned into a believer.
That was Mother's Day in, Mother's Day in 2012. That's when I had that conversation with him. She passed on Mother's Day, which is, you know, to be celebrated in the Virgin Mary Mass would have been her life goal. My mother was very religious.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's a lot of synchronicities here. So how do you live with this information without being in a, you know, a monastery or going to on pilgrimages and so forth? How do you work in your daily life with all of this information coming to you?
That's a great question. I just go about life and I sit back and enjoy watching people. People are the greatest thing. We're not humans with souls. That's the way we're raised. We're souls surrounded in our humanity, and we're here to learn and see. And it's like a beautiful painting. You know, we never see the great picture God paints for us because we're always standing on the canvas. And I just sit back and look at the different colors that are around me.
How long ago did you write your first book?
I started in 2008, and here's the funny thing. I hated English class, so, you know, my English teacher might be proud now, but I almost failed English. I hated that class in high school. And so now I have my fourth book just came out, and I've got, other things already written. I've written 70,000 inspirational words that have come, and I'm just a conduit. I just write down what I see. And people tell me it's beautiful. People tell me that it heals them. I've gotten messages from all over the world from people that I've shared on my Facebook page, these words. And it's just an amazing journey to know you can touch people that way. And
yeah.
I just feel like a steward, like each one's like a little diamond, and I just shape it a little bit, and then I just put it out.
Your Facebook page is just Facebook, the Guide to the Soul, right?
Yes.
Facebook.com/Guide to the Soul. And you have almost a million people on there that you've connected with and have read these messages. First book, by the way, that Robert Clancy wrote is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Soul. And now it's just Guide to the Soul.
Right. And when that book came out, I hadn't, my mother hadn't passed yet. I hadn't had that time where I spoke to my dad. And, you know, at that moment, it was almost like I was galvanized. That was a few months before the December 1st, 2012, like reawakening or something happened that day to me. But I just said, I need to own my truth and I need to share this. And it's now the right time. I just felt guided that the world's ready to hear. And, you know, I didn't set out to be famous. I didn't set out to do, you know, that. I just, I have to own my own truth. I know what I saw. I know what happened to me. And I know what's continuing to happen to me. And it's, I'm a steward for this. And I just have to put it out. It's about legacy. And I just want to leave this stuff for everybody.
Interesting. So it's not something you do for a living. It's just something that you share with the world.
Right. There's career and calling, and they're intertwined. My career is my programming, my marketing, my design, and calling is intertwined with that, almost like DNA now, and they're both carrying me on this path, and they're connected, and it's now like this chapter is the where the calling is now coming forward from that, and it's elevated by the career.
Interesting. So in the first book, it was A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Soul. It was a collection of stories that you say will transform the way you think about community service. Explain that.
Yeah, you know, community service starts with just a simple smile. It's the simplest form of community service we can do. And I always remember when I made the angel smile, I thought about it every day of my life, that experience. And, you know, I never felt worthy of it. I saw people that had this great faith, and I didn't. I had to be shown. So I don't have faith. I only have belief. But my faith was taken, or at least the opportunity to have faith, because I didn't up until that point. And, you know, every day, you know, this tool that we carry is community service, is anything we do to help someone else. I did have one question answered when the angel appeared, and it was, you know, I was so jaded at that point. I thought, why do we even have doctors helping extend life, or, you know, nurses or healthcare? Is it just to make money? You know, and I was so, like, upset about, you know, all of that, and thought they're so greedy, and it's just a nasty system. And the angel showed me that, no, every act of kindness helps the universe. It helps the light. And even the darkness is created by light. You know, when you, I had this quote, it was, when you're mired in the shadows of despair, know that there's always a higher light source behind any darkness. You just need to turn around to see it. Hmm. And if you think about it, shadows are created by light. Mm-hmm. So you just need to step out of it. And it's always there, and you need to trust that it's always around. So community service to me is the mainstream way of connecting with spirit. And it's easiest for the business world and everyone else to get their head around. Mm. So I promoted volunteerism. I volunteered with Hugh O'Brien Youth Leadership for, this is my 29th consecutive year, and inspiring these high school sophomores who've now I've seen grow up and do amazing community service and projects, and they're in positions where they're helping other people. They're all smiling. It's a life-transforming experience, this seminar that we put on every year, and I'm a part of that, and it's just a beautiful thing to see. And I actually just ran into yesterday one of the she was 15 or 16 at the time, but now she's got three kids and
wow.
You know, works at a university.
Time does go.
Yeah.
Well, we are in the middle of our fund drive here at KPFK, and you have been wonderful enough to donate, and talking about volunteering, a program of yours for our fund drive so that we can, in the name of community service, raise money for this radio station, which we definitely are grateful for, and I understand that you agree with.
Yes.
Robert Clancy has been so wonderful to donate his program to our radio station, and we would appreciate your phone calls right now. A pledge for $125, and your gift is his 21 Days to Decoding a Masterful Life, 21 videos, 21 guided meditations, and a workbook, all designed to bringing joy back into your life. That's a masterful life. And he's a wonderful, wonderful teacher. So please give us a call right now, 818-985-KPFK. What is included in this 21 days?
Well, you get to listen to me for 21 days, and if that doesn't help you, I don't know. Well, it's
good stuff.
Each day there's I've been guided with these different visual programs that you can draw and visualize, almost like a life board, and I have an inspirational video. I walk you through self-worth, the power of giving back, the circles in your life, and analyzing what your life path is. And then I have guided meditations. There's inspirational videos that are part of the words that they're threaded into those. And they're short. So I wanted to keep it so the busy person, you know, if it's only 3 or 4 minutes, you're going to watch this short video and think about a concept for that day. It might be gratitude. It might be the power of giving, and then the power of receiving. We struggle with that in receiving. Mm-hmm. You know, we're taught to give. So it's all of those things, and I put it into this 21-day program because that's when a shift happens if you've done something for 21 days.
Yes, and it happens in the brain and so forth, but you also get to do, there's a workbook, so that's not only the guided meditations, but a writing exercise, which further helps with the brain.
Yes.
Hmm. And this is something that people can call right now and get. The number is 818-985-KPFK. Robert's story is so phenomenal. I want to hear so much more about this angel and the communication that you received from her. Have you ever received any other vision of this angel again?
Well, I see, it's not as crystal clear as that. I mean, I never saw it again with my eyes like that, but I see things with my mind's eye. I see light when it's around me. I feel that presence. And being the programmer and the logic person I am, I'm constantly analyzing myself and seeing, am I intuitive now? Because I walk over to people and I'll put my hand in, and you know, I was at a church I was asked to speak at over the weekend, and a nun came over to me and she said, yeah, I'm retiring. I just, you know, turned 72. And I saw the little slideshow, and I put my hands on her shoulders and I said, I know that's not the reason why. It's not your age, because you would not stop. I said, I just wanted you to know that I know. And there was a health issue that I saw. And I said, there's another thing. I want you to know your health. And I think her faith was tested, and she said, I needed to hear that today, and tears streamed down her cheeks.
Aw, wow. Hmm. And so do you know where that comes from? Can you turn it on and off? Is it just part
It's just on all the time. Mm. Yeah, there is no off anymore.
There's no off anymore. So what makes you stick with this is you said it's not faith, it's believing. Explain that.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's just a knowing. You know, I think if everyone had the experience I had, I just wish the world did. And I have to carry this. And I couldn't find any historic examples other than the guy who built Mount Saint Michel in France, which is Archangel Michael's cathedral on that rock, the mountain, and a guy in the 3rd century, a prophet in the 3rd century. And then there's me. And for 30 years, I asked, why me? And when I woke up on December 1st, 2012, the words were, why ask why when you should ask why not?
Mm.
And I thought, well, okay.
Okay, just go
so
with it.
So I've got to do this, and I'm stepping into that. And
okay.
I just, you know, one day I just said, with the belief, I'm going to trust everything. And I know you've put me on this path for a reason, so I'm going to ride this out. I'm going to own this truth, and I'm going to do this for you. And angels are guides. We're the boots on the ground, and we have a choice whether to do this or not. And I said, you can use me for this, and I will do what you ask.
Okay, then let me ask you some questions, some of the tough questions about why are there shooters?
Right, and I've heard that, and it's about balance. And I know it sounds so simple, but how would you understand hot or cold or good or bad if you didn't have both? And I don't see it. You know, my eyes are different. When I see something like that, it's like I don't see things with my eyes. I see it with my heart. All I saw during that shooting and any shooting is the incredible acts of compassion, the incredible acts of kindness, the sacrifice that people made to save someone else's life. And I see that in humanity. And 99.9% of the people on this planet are amazing souls. Hmm. And yeah, there's a few, and news and everything that's coming at us, and it's tougher. And I think that's why we need to have more positive messages out, because there's a lot more good happening than there is bad in this world.
All right. What about a president that dismantles the democracy of America?
Well, I look at it this way.
Okay.
You can't have life without humor, and it's like a comedy show.
In some ways it is,
and you have to, yeah, it's...
I'm not laughing when the entire environmental movement has been rolled back
right.
decades.
No, I get it. I know there's serious changes happening, but again, it's a short amount of time in the big scheme of things. You know, even if it's a two-term presidency, it can all change again, and, you know, people need to reevaluate everything. And I think it's a time where we're looking inward and seeing what's there. And you need to accept things that you can't change, at least right now. And I've certainly had those. You know, my 19-year-old niece, actually she was 19, yeah, passed away suddenly at college. My best friend on this planet passed away in January. And I had my best friend's sister committed suicide, his grandmother and his aunt, and then his father passed away. Then my parents passed away, all in a very short amount of time.
And when you were young? Or
no, this happened within the last 2 years,
oh,
3 years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
And how have you dealt with that?
I saw an amazing thing. You know, my best friend, I saw, you know, he had cancer, and it was actually a year, he passed away in January last year. It was the year prior to that. He was up visiting from Philadelphia in upstate New York, and I saw written on his wife's face and his two kids, they were carrying it. And I called him the next day, and I said, I didn't talk to you yesterday, but, you know, I need to take the gloves off. Is that okay with you? And he said, yeah. I said, all right, well, I have your permission. I said, we need to be real from this point forward. And I saw written on your family this incredible pain that you have, and they need to see their dad fight this. They need to see their dad and what legacy you have. And I know what's inside you. I've known you since second grade. And we need to be open with each other. And we were. And we had amazing conversations. And I got the call that he was failing. He lost his voice. And then he was unconscious and on a ventilator. And I just got in a car and I drove 5 hours down through a snowstorm. You're trying to get to this hospital. It's in the middle of Philadelphia. I've never been there before. I don't know where to park and all this stuff. And I'm trying to, you know, and the snow is coming, and I'm going through this hallway, and I'm bursting through the door, and I hear this young boy's voice go, there's Uncle Bob. And he's smiling ear to ear. And he said, Dad's upstairs. I can't wait for you to see him. And I was immediately brought to, wow, he did it. He did it.
Huh.
And I walked in the room, and his daughter's sitting, you know, 16, 17-year-old daughter sitting there, and she's fingerprinting her dad because it's the last memory they're going to have. And she's smiling ear to ear, and she said, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to let you have some time with Dad. Just take your time. And they just stepped out of the room.
Hmm.
And I thought, that's legacy. That's transcending a lot. And I was so proud of what he did.
Mm.
And I whispered in his ear, because I pulled both of his kids down and told them the conversations that we had, the things that he didn't get a chance to tell them. And then I went back up and said, you can go now. They know. And he passed about an hour and a half later.
Wow. Have you been able to do this with people that you don't necessarily know?
Yes, and I've been, you know, there was a woman that contacted me through my Facebook page, and all day long I kept hearing, like, her daughter having a conversation with my niece, and my niece was going to go to be a nurse. That's what she was going to college for. And I kept hearing, don't worry, my Uncle Bobby will call her, and all day long. And finally, I just threw my hands up in the air and said, okay, I'm going to message her on Facebook. I went to the Facebook page, and her page was locked down that you couldn't even message to it. It would go into this other bin, and they would never see it. And I just went, see, I tried. I'm out. And 5 minutes later, the woman messaged me directly, which then opened up the ability for me to communicate with her. And 2 hours later, I was on the phone with her. And I said, this might sound weird, but I kept seeing, like, your daughter speaking. And she said, well, my daughter passed away while she was giving birth last year, and it was medical malpractice. And we're in this horrible, horrible lawsuit. And I said, well, my niece was going to be a nurse, and I said, they're there to do good. I don't think they intentionally did this. And your daughter, if she was standing next to you, would say these words. And I just said what was in my heart to her. And she messaged me the next day, and, you know, she didn't really say anything on the phone, but the next day she said, what you just said just changed me, and I was able to make the turn today.
Hmm.
And that's somebody I didn't even know, and I've never seen her in person. If I'm ever in Arkansas, she said she's got a hug for me.
is this something that you, that the angels communicate to you and direct you to find? They have a message for someone, or it just happens, or do you know?
It just, I think it just happens. I'm open to, I just end up where I'm supposed to be, and I just trust that, and who I'm supposed to speak with, and if I'm speaking in a conference and there's 3,000 people there, or there's only two, those are the right two people. I just trust that I don't need a huge audience. it's the right message for the right people at the right time, and I just trust that I'm given what I'm supposed to do, and I do everything out of love, and you know, I wish I could you know, take that kind of pain away from people, and hopefully when I speak to them it brings some kind of peace or comfort to them.
Well, it makes sense, because when I was watching some of the some of the 21 days to decoding a masterful life, and this is again the wonderful donation that Robert Clancy has made to the station, 21 videos, 21 guided meditations, and a workbook, all designed to bringing joy back into your life. So please give us a call right now, 818-985-KPFK. It seemed the topics, they were so, they were simple topics like gratitude and receiving and so forth, and messages I've heard before, but not the way that you said them. And it was coming from a different place. And that's what I thought was so interesting about it. I thought, gosh, these seem really different.
Well, I've heard, you know, everything has already been said, just like all music's already been played. Every note has already been played, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're still creating beautiful music. So I trust in that I will have the right words at the right time for the right person. And are my words and message different from anyone else, you know, that's ever walked down that path?
Mm-hmm.
No, certainly not, but it's the right message for the right people now, and there's ears for that, and whatever that message is, I just trust that that's what I'm supposed to deliver. And I almost didn't write this last book. I stopped midway through, and I said, what am I saying? I'm not saying anything new. It's like hope, love, faith, what, you know, peace? Yeah, okay. What am I bringing to the world? And in... You know, I went to click the computer, and the browser opened up, and there was a clip from Oprah, and she said, the Big O, and somebody was interviewing her, and they said, you created this show, Super Soul Sunday, and all these people are saying the same damn thing, so what are you bringing new? And she said exactly what I just said, the right person with the right message at the right time,
yeah.
And each of them are saying the same thing, but each of us have a unique perspective, and that's what this is about. And I've said, thank you, Oprah. I can finish my book.
Yeah, that gave you permission to do it. Yes, people will hear it in a different way.
Yes.
Do you have a message for all of us listening about change, about crisis?
It's always trust that you can extend a hand and you're going to touch someone. And open your heart, you touch the world, and just trust in that. And as a martial artist, I'm a fifth-degree black belt. I'm trained to create pain, and then the attacker retreats from that because the body goes away from pain. And when we see someone in pain, we typically retreat from that person. And when you're in your office space, you know when somebody is going through something. Our brains are the fastest computers on this planet. And that's the time to go in and just be there. Sometimes it's just listening to someone or just saying, hey, I'm there and I care. Sometimes it's all someone needs to hear. And share that smile. And the first person you should share with is yourself when you wake up in the morning, because that's the ultimate gratitude. I smile when I'm alone because I know I never am. And that's just how I operate. And I've done that every day since the angel touched me.
No, I love it. And then there was a movie or show created after your experience.
Yes, and I had to laugh because I'm like, yeah, touched by an angel. Yeah, I was. And you're like, okay.
That's a good show, though. All right. So I want to mention once again to our audience, if you call us right now, 818-985-KPFK, you can, if you can, please donate $125 to our radio station, which will come back to you so much more than that. It's just, in this case, money. What you're getting in return is priceless, incredible, visionary advice. So this is 21 Days to Decoding a Masterful Life, and it's 21 days of meditations. It's a toolkit that leads you towards creating a joyful, balanced life, but it really comes, it speaks to each one of us differently. I will hear something different than you will hear because of the way that it's crafted and the source that it's coming from. There's reflective guided workbook that you can do writing experiences. So it really becomes your own experience. And I can't quite explain it, But then again, does it need explaining? Those that are called to it will understand.
Right.
This is a program that Robert Clancy put together. His name of his book is called Soul Ciphers, Decoding a Life of Hope and Happiness. Soul Ciphers. What is a soul cipher?
Well, it's looking inward, and like each of us, our life is a big puzzle, and I'm a coder. When you decode something, you decrypt it, and when you can decrypt it, it becomes aware of what the message is, and each of us have a message, and we have to find out what that is, and that's our life path, and that's what this book is taking my programming logic side and applying it to the spiritual side.
So it's 21 videos, 21 guided meditations, and a workbook.
Yes.
And the phone number, once again, for our audience is 818-985-KPFK. Now, I understand, or I noticed, that Marcy Shymoff wrote the foreword to your book. Do you know Marcy?
Yes, and her business partner, Deborah Poneman. They're absolute amazing lights on this planet, and she wholeheartedly wrote the foreword, and I am so in gratitude for that. It was... She wrote Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul. She was a featured teacher in The Secret. She wrote Happy for No Reason. And it's the perfect synergy because her message dovetails right into mine. So,
yes.
Love it.
Great. Yes, I know her, and both Marcy and Deborah are good friends and amazing women on this planet. Let's talk a little bit about the book. In there, you mentioned something about soul hitches. What are those?
Yeah, I started recognizing that when we encounter people, sometimes, you know, you're trying to get from point A to point B and you can never get to B. You end up going other places, or somebody you encounter that day, whether they even say something to you or not, and you feel this deep connection to them, almost like you've known them. It might be a stranger, and they're like guideposts out there, and they just kind of point you in this little direction. So they're almost like little angels that are there. And I encountered my first one at age 6 in Jamaica, and you know, he transformed my life. This Alex the Pool Man was his name. And I still have the shells he gave me, and he showed me what, you know, how to be happy without having anything, other than the happiness that's in you is worth more than anything you could ever have.
That's an interesting perspective. That's a great perspective. That's a lot of what you do is you change, you have different perspectives on things, different ways of looking. Isn't all of life about perspectives?
Yes, and that's the key word. And, yeah, you know, if you were stuck in a hole, your perspective is the ground, and if you're smart enough to look up, it's the way out. When you're standing at the edge of the hole and you're at the edge of a forest, you're like, oh, my God, now you're not in a hole, but you have to cut through this forest. But if you were on top of the mountain, your perspective is completely different. You're going to be looking at this beautiful valley, and you don't even see the hole. So that's what life is. It's about trying to look at everything from that mountaintop, from the 10,000-mile view, because that's when you can see the whole canvas.
That's interesting that you mentioned that about the presidency. You know, for example, if this current president is in term for 4 years or even 8 years and rolls back maybe even 10, 20 years with the policy, you're saying that that's just a blip in the radar? That
yeah.
It can be rolled back in instantly?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what's going to happen. There's how everything is viewed and comes through that. So there's... Government is more than just the presidency. The government that really, truly matters is your community and around that, and then going up from there. That's how it works. And, yeah, we have the federal government, and the states are united under that. But I truly believe that, there's so many great assemblymen, senators that I know personally in the region that are doing amazing things where I live, and it's putting those people in, and it goes up. It's not the trickle down. It's the light up.
That's a good perspective, again, on perspectives. Also, in your book, you also have a chapter titled Reverse Climbs. What is that?
Reverse climbs, yeah, that's an interesting concept because I've talked to a lot of climbers, and I encountered that when I went to the Grand Canyon. And ended up, you know, stupidly taking like a bottle of water and a small sandwich and walking 2 miles to the trailhead, and decided I was going to hike into the bottom of the Grand Canyon because this is easy. You know,
looks
I
easy.
Went down, about 4 hours, and I never got to the bottom. And you're walking into a desert, and you're slowly dehydrating, and the climb actually starts when you make the turn. And then it took 8 hours to climb out, and I was dead. And I thought, people die on this trail, and how stupid was I? And I could have asked for help, or, you know, I could have, you know, people that are on the trail and have died there because they didn't. And that's a reverse climb in life. And we've got to help, you know, you take that exit and you end up in the weeds. It's a long, arduous journey to get back, but you can. And I eventually got to the top, and I had to ask people for water, and I had to ask for help. And I was on Bright Angel Trail, which I thought, you know, it's angels. How bad can that be? And I got back to the hotel, and, I wasn't even upright anymore. I was holding my thighs with my hands and picking up my legs to walk. And she said, and I was with my friend, were you boys hiking in the Grand Canyon? I said, yeah. Did you make it to the bottom? No. What trail were you on, Bright Angel? And I said, yeah. She goes, that's called Satan's Staircase. And I said, I think I learned that the hard way. That's a reverse climb.
So that's a reverse climb. It's what it represents. Speaking of such, I mean, do you believe in the opposite of the angels? Do you believe in there are evil beings, that there are evil spirits and so forth?
There is balance in the universe. So if that happened, then yes, there must be the other side too. And I think that the other side is created by us. It's the darkness that you create around you when you create those entities. You can almost create your own downward spiral.
Darkness can come in if there's an opening.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you also have the opportunity to reverse that at any time. And the first step is asking for help, and asking for help from above, and asking for help in the physical plane.
Then faith comes in and belief.
Yes.
Because when you ask for help and you don't get as clear of an answer as you got, then you have to just leave it up to belief.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we always taken care of, Robert?
I believe we're all held, yes. And I was shown that. And the first step is to ask for help. And it's even outlined in the doctrines that are out there. When you ask for help, it comes. When you give with all of your spirit for that. And you still have to do something. You know, have you ever been stuck on the side of the road in your car?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not there now, so how did you get here? So that's how life works. Somewhere along the line, you either called for help, or you figured it out, or you started walking, but you had to do something. And that's the key. You have to do something. You can't just sit there and expect it to happen.
So this too shall pass is really true, because it has in the past. Whatever it is, you'll figure it out and it will pass again, right?
Right. And I've had, you know, the quote is, even the sun has to shine on dark days. It has to face that.
You know, when something like that happens, it gives you a different perspective. Once again, I was, I had this experience happen to me. I wrote about recently on my bike. I do a lot of cycling, and I was on a road bike this particular day, which I'm usually on a mountain bike, but I was climbing on a highway, Topanga Canyon Highway here, and it's a twisty, windy road. And I was just minding my own business and had my headphones in. I was having a great time. And I had stopped to take my arm warmers off, which I never really do. I usually do that on while still pedaling, but this time I had stopped. And I started riding again, and I looked up, and there was a car that had it came around a corner way too fast and started to spin out of control, coming towards me faster than I could have ever moved away from it. The momentum was too fast. I couldn't. I tried to get off the bike and run. Didn't.
And what do you think in that moment? You're like, okay, I'm not going to see my family, or I'm going to be doing this. And there's a shift that happens at that point.
And there's something that moved that car towards the telephone pole next to me, and it hit the pole instead of my body, which was like 10 inches from me.
Yeah.
And I looked And everybody in the road stopped because it was like we were in the presence of a miracle. And we were. And I stopped and I spoke to this kid who was driving, and I just started to pray with him because it was literally we were in the presence of a miracle. It was the energetic presence of this, I shouldn't be standing, you shouldn't be standing. We all need to just recognize that we were.
Just recognize that moment, yeah.
And
that's
beautiful.
That's when you actually experience true gratitude.
Yes.
And you put everything in perspective because you thought, what is the matter? You know, this bike doesn't matter if it got damaged. This doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I am so thankful I am able to go home tonight, and I'm going to appreciate that meal that I'm going to have tonight. I'm going to appreciate the smile that I see with my family.
Arms around my daughter and ass. And that happened and has happened every moment. It really shifted me. It really
shifted me. But here's the bigger shift. Go home tonight and do that same thing for no reason.
Yeah.
That's the shift. Yeah. That's when you realize every moment is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Same with the driver, whoever he is.
Right.
Well, I thank you so much for just sharing your words of wisdom. Your energy is delightful and easy. And if you listening, you want to listen more and be a part of this 21-day program, please call us here. Support KPFK. Support this wonderful radio station that gives you so much. And if you can donate, please do, a $125 donation to the station. And it's the 21 Days to Decoding a Masterful Life. You will hear this in a different way, whoever you are, because you were touched by an angel. Thank you so much. Robert Clancy has been my guest. And it's a pleasure, true pleasure, to speak with you and share with you today. Thanks, Robert.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and I feel your heart. And you know what? I'm just going to donate $125 to the station anyway, so my publicist will be in touch, and we'll get that over
thank
to you.
Thank you so much. You donated your program and paid for it. Thank you.
There
very
you go.
Much.
Why not?
Right. Why not? I appreciate your perspective. It's the title of the show today, Perspective. All right. Take care, Robert, and thank you again for all of your donations and your words and sharing with our audience today.
Sure. Thank you so much.
All right. And everyone else, thank you for your donations. We appreciate the phones. Keep ringing, 818-985-KPFK. Thank you so much for joining me today. Your energy made this show happen. And thank you to Gina Salvati, executive producer of The Aware Show, and Joyce Walker, producer of The Aware Show, and engineers here at this wonderful radio station, and you. And until next time, I am Lisa Garr, and I invite you to stay aware.